prayers that get answers. Okay, that's not centered. It's okay. Praying prayers that get answered. When I got saved as a little girl, and I did, I got saved when I was, I remember walking forward in the Venice Baptist Church and giving my heart to Jesus Christ. I was 8 years old, and I got baptized. Now, I grew up in church, and from the time I was a baby, I was in church. My mother happened to be the secretary for the pastor of the Venice Baptist Church, and so we were at every service. My dad was a heathen. He didn't go to church, but my mom grew up in church, loved God, and raised me to know the Lord. And it wasn't until I was in my teenage years that I rebelled, and off I went into that whole drug culture and got pregnant, and husband went off to Vietnam, brought drugs back. You know my testimony. So anyway, got caught up in that whole thing, and boy, when I went from Jesus to the world, I went all the way. All the way. I was one of the bad girls. I was a good girl turned bad, and now I'm a bad girl turned good. And now I'm an old girl that stayed with God. And so prayer was just something that I always was taught as a little girl. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I was a Baptist. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, that was my first little prayer that I remember saying. Now, don't teach that prayer to your daughters, and don't teach that prayer to your sons. But I grew up with the disciplines of the church to pray. Now, how many of you have grown up in church? In some kind of church, Catholic church, Baptist church, denominational church, something. Had rosary, you know, my husband's an ex-Catholic, rosary, my, you know, and the prayer beads. How many have done that? That's okay. Listen, I'm not here to put anything down. I just want to tell you about the things I've learned about answered prayer. How many of you in here love to pray? You love to pray. I mean, it's not hard for you. Okay, the hands are starting to go down, yeah, because my hand would not go up. I find it hard to pray. I find it hard sometimes to concentrate. My mind just starts to wander. Does yours? I mean, I'm praying to an invisible God. I can't see. It's not like I'm having a conversation with you where we have eye contact, right? Does anybody feel that way besides me? Because I want to just be very, very honest today. We're very human people, right? And so as I grew up in the Lord and as I married Jim and God began to speak to me and I began to identify the voice of God, Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice, the voice of a stranger they'll not follow. Boy, when you hear the voice of Jesus, you know it. You know God is speaking to you. It's a rhema from God. You know that you know, and it puts faith instantly in your heart. Have you heard that voice? Okay. Some of you have, some of you haven't. I actually had an audible voice that told me when it came to Jim, when I met Jim Cobray, I've called you to love that man. And the voice was so loud, I thought he was standing right next to me, but it was obviously the Holy Spirit breathing that into my spirit, and I heard it. And it put faith in my heart to marry this crazy man that had been divorced 3 times, you know, before he was 25, and everybody thought he was a little different. So God took 2 very weird, crazy people and brought them together. But I'd heard the voice of God, and I began to pray, and I began to learn about prayer. And then I remember Jim was ordained, and he became an associate pastor. And I remember in the 80s learning about faith and learning about prayer. And I remember sitting under the ministries of some great women of God and just listening to them teach about prayer. And I just thought, oh God, if I could just pray like that, if I could just pray, because I could pray like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then I was done. And then there was this teaching that swept through the church in the 80s. Now, I'm old enough to have winds of doctrine that have swept through. Swept this way and swept that way. And so we began to learn the Lord's Prayer, and we began to learn that it was not a prayer that you recite, but it was actually a model and an outline. And we've taught that here. It was the right teaching. It was amazing teaching. And then the doctrine of prayer 1 hour. Could you not just pray 1 hour? And then we learned that, oh my gosh, if you don't pray 1 hour, you are backsliding. So we would get up in the morning, and we would go at 5 o'clock in the morning to LACF, our church up in the mountains, and I dragged the kids out of bed. Is Jessica here? She remembers. Yeah, you remember. I mean, I dragged those kids out of bed. Luke was like 3, Jesse was 5, or Luke was 2, and Jesse was 5. I'd wrap them in sleeping bags. I'd promise them some hot chocolate and a donut, and we'd throw them in the church, and we'd have a prayer meeting, and they'd sleep in their sleeping bags at 5 o'clock in the morning, listening to us pray. And And so we did that religiously. We did that out of pure hearts. Now, some of those prayers never got answered. I would say a lot of those prayers never got answered until we came down here. And we are reaping what we prayed up in the mountains. So prayer can take on all kinds of forms. There's all kinds of reasons to pray. There's all kinds of things that you can do, that you shouldn't do, that you've learned. How many have learned about prayer over the years? Right. But today I want to talk to you about the prayers that get answered in my life and some things that God has taught me. And so I want you to look with me, and I'm just going to give you two simple things. And I think one of the most important things that I have learned as I have lived this life out with the Lord and in ministry is that when my prayers get answered, whether I am learning something new about prayer and I take it on and it's sweeping through the body of Christ. Do you remember the prayer of Jabez? That swept through the body of Christ. It was, listen, these are not bad teachings. These are good teachings. They just come and they have their season of teaching, and then they move on. And then God breathes another message. He breathes a new revelation of the same thing, and it sweeps through the church again. These are not bad things. But what I'm saying is when you begin to just have a consistent prayer life, it begins to take shape and it changes. And the Lord spoke to me one day, and he says, prayer is like talking to your husband. He said, am I not your husband? The Holy Spirit and I were having a conversation. And Jesus is our husband, right? We are known as the bride of Christ, right? Now, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So anything that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit has, they're joined. They're in total and complete unity. They're one, right? Like you and your spirit. So anything the Holy Spirit tells us, it's Jesus speaking, right? It's not separated. And he said, just like you have a running conversation with Jim all day long, you have a running conversation with me all day long because prayer is talking to me. Prayer is communicating with me. He said, but every morning you wake up with your husband, he makes a pot of coffee before he goes to bed the night before, and that is your time for each other and for a special communication. That is a time that we carve out in our day, and we've done this since we got married. We carved out the morning hour, and we said, we're going to spend time together. Sometimes we'll have a great fight. Sometimes we'll laugh. Sometimes we'll just talk about nonsense. I always want to talk about the word. Jim wants to drift me off to some crazy little thing because he wants to play. But we always have our time together. And God said to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, that's focused communication. He said, that is what I want to talk to you about. He says, I expect you to have a running conversation with me. And the more that you walk with God, the more you do have a running conversation with the Lord. That's why Paul said, pray without ceasing. It's a continual communication. You're not cut off from God. But there are times when you have got to shut yourself away and carve out time like I carve out for my husband, and we've got to get down, God and I, and I have to focus and I have to talk to him. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. For the first thing I want to say to you is focused prayer is extremely important. If your prayers are going to get answered, they're going to have to be focused. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, but you, Jesus talking, when you pray, and this is the prelude into the Lord's Prayer, and we're not going to go there today. When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. In other words, get alone with just him. Like I get alone with my husband, God wants me to get alone with him. Jim and I pray every morning. But there's a time in the day. There's a time in my 24-hour day. I need to tuck away and I need to get alone with God. And it doesn't have to be an hour. It may be 10 minutes. It may be hours. It may be 5 minutes. You see, God isn't got the clock ticking and he's not counting down your prayer time. He is wanting focus time with us, so that we are absolutely, positively focused on what we are doing. Now, Sturgeon, who was a great, great pastor and evangelist, the 1800s, wrote this about prayer. He said, one of the greatest hindrances to prayer is our lack of focus. And he said this. He said, And this is, you know, 150 years ago when he wrote this. He said, if you were going to the King of England, he's English, and you had an audience with the king, he said, you would not stand in front of that king, and you would not let your mind wander and swat a fly or pick at a speck of dust that's floating in the air. Or, let's make it contemporary. If you had a meeting with President Obama, you would not take your cell phone in with you. And you would not be texting while you're talking or answering a call while you're having a conversation. In other words, you would be completely focused on that appointment because you're with the most important man in America. It took something to get there, and you want to make sure you respect, hear everything he has to say, and that he hears everything you want to say. Well, it's the same thing with our focused time with God. When we come into his presence and we have carved that time out with him, not with prayer of agreement, not with the church, not with your family, not with anybody, it's just you and him, me and God. Focused prayer is extremely important, that I discipline my thoughts and my mind and I settle myself down and I'm in the presence of the King of the universe. And I come in the name of Jesus. That's what gets me there. Because in Christ, I am joined. I am joined and I am his body. He is the eternal high priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 said he ever lives to make intercession for you and I. And when we come to the throne of God and he invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. But it's got to be focused, girls. So whatever it is you got to do, you got to just, if it's kids, you got little kids. Like I know when I had little kids, there was fingers under the door. And it was like I had to pray in the bathroom. Or I had to pray at 2 o'clock in the morning when they were all asleep. Because I just couldn't be focused if they were awake. Because forget it, I had to keep them alive. So you young moms, I totally get it. I remember. As a matter of fact, that's when God taught me to take the nursing time, take the 2 o'clock watch and use it for prayer. Because I hated getting up and I was so irritated that I was waking up out of a dead sleep. And God had to train me and say, instead of complaining about it, be grateful to me that you have a child that you can feed and nurse and love and that you get to do this and use it for my glory and begin to talk to me during this time when everybody else is asleep. Well, now I'm 61, going to be 62 this year. I still get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. It built something in my clock and I'm up. So if you call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll be up. I'll text you back. We'll have a prayer of agreement. Focused prayer. So Jesus said, shut the door. Because why? The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, the pastors of that day, they were in robes and it was a big deal to pray. And it was a big deal to pray out loud. I remember the first time I ever prayed in a group, I was so scared. I was holding hands. We were in a circle. It was at Calvary Chapel. I was just a brand new Christian. And I remember just thinking, oh God, they're going to ask me to pray. Oh, what am I going to say? And I was so focused on what I needed to pray that I wasn't even listening to anybody else. Let's don't go there. Prayer is just talking to God. And if you are in a group and we're praying together, just what's in your heart? Just talk to him. Nobody taught me this stuff. I didn't know. So you new believers, just relax. You're talking to your dad. Okay, so maybe he's not physically in front of you, but oh, when you close your eyes and you invite the Holy Spirit to help you pray, all of a sudden everything begins to change. And if you're a new believer, just expect amazing things to happen in your life. Just expect it because you're brand new. It's like a baby and you're going to just get loved and cuddled and everything else. And then all of a sudden it's like, where did my dad go? And he says, time to grow up. It's all good. Prayer is talking to God. Focused attention. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. These are very, very familiar verses, but let's look at them. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication means that you stand before the Lord and you bring His word and you request something that you can't make happen. He's dad, you're not, and you ask. Okay? Supplication. You supplicate, you ask Him. With thanksgiving. In other words, what should I pray for? Well, this says, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, but in everything. So pray for everything. Pray about everything and worry about nothing. Let me say it again. Pray about everything and worry about nothing. Pray about everything and worry about nothing. When you've prayed, there is a release. I'm going to show you that at the end of this message. There is an assurance of the Spirit, and you can let it go, and you don't have to pick it back up. So pray about everything. Now, there's two reasons why prayers don't get answered. There's a lot of reasons, but everything fits into these two categories. Let's go to James. James in the fourth chapter says, why do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Now, wait a minute, God. He's talking to the church. He is not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to the church. Do you think that could be us sometimes? Do you think that we could be jealous and envy and fight and have contentions and strife? Do you think that the flesh, the old nature, could just ease out? The answer is yes. Get a life. We are very human, and we are going to fight the flesh until we go home. Hello, nobody here is ever going to be perfect. It's something we work on. Paul said, I pressed toward that mark, but I haven't obtained it. But I forget what lies behind. I'm running towards that mark. You are going to fight your flesh until you die, and so am I. And that's okay, because full redemption is coming. But right now, there are wars and fights, chapter 4, verse 1, among us. Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Listen, the biggest job a pastor has is relationships. It's keeping everybody, listen, in this room, relationships. In your marriage, relationships. With your children, relationships. With your friends. So can we just get real in here and not look so pious and holy? You know you get mad. You know you get envious and jealous. You know that there's competition that seeps up and you just go, where did that come from? We're all so sanctified and holy. You know that you look at somebody's great marriage and you look at that man and you think, well, why couldn't my man be like that man? You know that you look at somebody's new car, you look at somebody's job, or you look at somebody's life. Listen, you live in a natural fleshly body. I'm not giving you an excuse and saying it's okay, but this is why prayers don't get answered. Now look at what God says. He's talking to the church. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. Now murder, remember, if you murder in your heart, when you hate somebody, you've murdered them, right? So it's not that this church was taking out their, you know, their Uzis and just, you know, wiping everybody out at a love feast. However, they were getting drunk at love feasts and at communion tables in Corinth. I'm so grateful for the first century church. Because they were pagans and they were rascals. They're getting drunk at the Lord's Supper in the book of Corinthians. And Paul said, stop that. Listen, it's not that much different today. Some of you have gone out drinking on Friday or Saturday, slept with somebody, and you show up on Sunday. Or you don't show up on Sunday because you're feeling too bad about yourselves. And if it's not in this group, believe me, it's in the sanctuary. Because I know no one in here would do that. I know that. What's the point? God is talking to us about our lives. Why isn't prayer answered? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because, here's number one, you do not ask. You don't ask, which we're going to look at. Reason number one why prayer isn't answered. You don't ask. Reason number two, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, what is God saying? Either you're not asking or you're not asking the right way or for the right thing. It's one or the other. Everything else can get lumped in there. Unforgiveness, sin, all of it that doesn't answer, that keeps us from answered prayer. All of that, either I'm not asking or I'm asking because, and I'm asking the wrong way, something's wrong. Or, here's number two, and this is not why your prayers don't get answered. Your prayers are being answered, it's just not in your time. God's delays are not God's denials. So you may think I don't have answered prayer, but it may not yet be time. So the two reasons why God does not answer is you don't ask or I'm asking amiss. And have I lived this? So let's talk about what does that mean. Are you all right with me? Okay. Because here's the deal. I used to think if I just had enough faith, I'd get it. If I could just be holy enough and if I could behave myself well enough, then God would have to answer my prayer. Works, right? Now, I'm not saying that we're not to be holy and that we're not to do these things, but it's not to get something from God. It's because we love Him. And it's a normal, organic lifestyle that just begins to happen because I've fallen in love with this amazing Savior, and I don't want to offend Him or hurt Him. Like when I married Jim, I wanted to cook what he liked. I wanted to dress the way he liked me to dress. I wanted to please him because I loved him. Do you remember those days? Before you got used to and before all happened, remember your honeymoon and the first days? How many remember those days? Listen, God's a jealous God. Jesus is a jealous Savior, and the Holy Spirit is jealous, and He yearns over us. He wants us. So He wants me to behave, but not so that I can get something, but because I love Him. And so, looking at this, let's look at these two things. Two reasons why you don't ask, or you ask amiss. So then how do I get answered prayer? Okay, well, let's look at asking. Point number one. In my life, and when my prayers have been answered, and I've prayed a lot of prayers, and I've had some amazing answers. Number one, focused desires. God wants me to ask. Jesus invites us to ask. He invites us, he said, because I go to the Father, anything that you ask in my name, it will be done for you. Jesus invites us to believe with Him. So how do I know what to ask for, and how do I know it's the will of God? Because that's really the number one question, isn't it? When you pray, if you love God, you just don't want to pray outside of His will. So we're all so afraid, maybe, oh, I don't know if God wants me to have that. I don't know if that's the will of God. Well, let's look at that. Let's walk through some processes to know if it's His will and how to ask, okay? Okay. So, focused desires. What does that mean? If you look at the focus on a lens, on a camera, what does a focus on a lens do? Makes it clear. Sharpens the picture. Right? God isn't asking us to just throw up a prayer and ask for anything. He's asking us to be specific. What do you want? So my question to you, if God says you don't have because, let's just... You don't ask. Let's just say God was sitting here right now, Holy Spirit's here, and he says to you, Nikki, you don't ask. And Nikki says, well, okay. What if God wanted to expand our hearts so that we would begin to pray His will into the earth and ask for things that aren't even in our minds yet? What if there's more capacity in your life than you know? What if there's a bigger plan than what you have for yourself? What if God sees your life and you see your life and you see it here, but God sees it here? Now, maybe you'd be content with, oh, God, just a broken down old car just to get me to work. What if God wants you to have a good car that runs well? that you have a paycheck that can put gas in it, whether gas goes to $15 a gallon isn't going to be the issue, because you need transportation, you believe God, and your God supplies all of your need according to His riches and glory. But that's going to take a specific kind of faith and a specific kind of request. What are you asking for? I want a husband. Well, what kind of a husband do you want? What do you want? Because this is what God said to me. What do you want, child? I wanted a house. We'd moved 11 times in 11 years. And I was living up in the mountains, and it was in the 80s, and I just wanted a little country cabin. My poor husband, he came from Bel Air. He wanted a palatial home, and I wanted Daniel Boone's cabin. But it's what I wanted. I never had a home. In all the years we've been married, we sold our first home, gave it to our church, and then we rented from then on for the next 11 years. I never had a home, and I didn't complain. I didn't care. But in my heart of hearts, I would go to the people in my church, I'd go to one of my friends, and she had this darling little cabin. I just wanted it. I just wanted a little house. And Jim wanted a view. So God spoke to me one day and said, I'm going to give you a house. I'm going to give you your heart's desire. And I said, oh, I heard him. Like I heard him tell me about Jim. And I said, oh, thank God. It was like permission came into my heart to believe I could have a house. I didn't have to rent. See, faith comes by hearing the word of God. God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So how do you get the right desires? Well, I was delighting myself in the Lord. I hadn't asked Him yet for a house, but He put it in my heart. Does that make sense? So if you don't know what to ask, it's okay. You don't have to run to God right now and pray everything. But I was moving with the kids. And God knew I'd look at all Country Living magazine. You know, it was at the 80s. It was pink and blue. Oh, my God. Thank God we'd moved on from there. Now we're in, you know, the brown generation. But anyway, I identified decades by colors. But I just wanted a stencil. Just have a little country home, a little homespun. I was still a hippie. You know, my husband was still palatial, and he married a hippie. And it says in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. At this point, I had not asked. Okay, I hadn't prayed. So, how do you know what to ask for? We're talking about focused desires. Well, are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Delight yourself. The word delight means the power of pleasing. What a great word, delight. The power of pleasing. When you're delighting someone, you have the power to please them. When something delights you, it has the power to please you. So when the word says delight yourself in the Lord, it means, child, be a pleasing daughter. Please your father. You've got kids. The kids that are rebellious and that don't like you and that write about you on Facebook, you want to take out your gun and you want to take their little laptop and you just want to shoot it. Y'all see that? Yeah. Rebellious children are hard to be with. Children that don't talk to you are hard to be with, aren't they? I don't care what age they are. When they don't like you and you're at the table trying to get everybody together and get everybody just talking, it's hard to deal with the kids when they're like that. Can I get a witness in this house? Amen. But when they turn and when they're good to you and they love you, when they're 3 and 5 and when they're 6 and when you just think, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine my life if they moved out. God, if anything ever happened to them, I'd be destroyed. You know the mother feeling that you get when your kids are little? Then all of a sudden they go to junior high and it's like, oh my, well. Bye-bye. It's easy to just want to do anything for them when they're good, right? Well, do you think you are any different than your father? He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to you when you ask Him? We are made in His image. So Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. If you don't know what to pray for yet, just be a good girl. Be a good girl. Just say every morning, Lord, I'm up and my desire today is to delight you. Please, Holy Spirit, show me how to please my Father. I know I'm going to trip and fall and maybe stumble and do things I shouldn't do, but God, help me to grow up and be a good girl that can delight my Father, because I want to be one of His favorites. So, focused desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Okay, what about this one? Well, okay, I'm a good girl, but I still don't know what I want. Oh, glad you asked. So what do I do? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 in the Amplified Bible. Can I have it up? Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to Him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. God says, if you take your works and your life and you commit them to me and you roll them off on me, and I've taught this to you many, many times, the image is a camel with a load on its back. And when the Hebrews would unload and the caravans would unload those camels, they would unleash and they would roll that load off, and that camel would lay down and get that load off of them. God is saying, take that load off of you. Commit and trust them wholly to me. The works, what are the works? My life. Who am I supposed to marry? What kind of business am I supposed to go in? God, what do you want from me in ministry? How do we pastor this church this year? How do we shout? Lord, how do we get the finances that we need in here? I'm rolling my works on the Lord. I am rolling my thoughts. I'm rolling my cares. I'm saying, God, I don't know how to do this yet. I need your strategy. I need your plan. And wait on God, and God will come, because your thoughts, look at what it says, He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with His will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. When you agree with Him and when you pray what He wants you to pray, it says in 1 John that we know that if we pray according to the will of God, that He hears us and we have those things that we want. It is the will of God that your marriage just flourish. If you are about ready to crack up and leave that man, it is the will of God to save that marriage, can be saved. I know you're dealing with two people, and that always can't happen. But on your part, you're unhappy with your job. It's the will of God for you to be blessed. You know that work is actually therapeutic. God gave us the ability to work. Mark Twain said, find something you love to do, and you'll never work again the rest of your life. And God says, love what you do, and you will do what you love. Love what you do, and you'll do what you love. In other words, I don't like changing diapers. I don't like this job at Walmart. I don't like this job. I don't like this. I don't like that. Roll your works upon the Lord. Love what you do. Change your thinking. And on that job, change your thinking. Lord, thank you for this job. Thank you, Lord. I know that this isn't where I'm going to end up. But I know, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Father, and you begin to see what you want to do, the kind of job you want to have. You're willing to do what you need to do to get it. And you begin to ask the Father, and then His thoughts become your thoughts, and you pray according to His will. Now, my God told me about this blue house. I wasn't asking for it, but He said, I know what's in your heart. And I want to give you the desires of your heart because you're being a good girl. And so I heard the voice of God, and then I began to pray. I said, Lord, okay, you said we could have a house. Well, then my husband started looking for all these houses. Now remember, he's palatial, I'm Daniel Boone. So every house he looked at had a million stairs. We were in Lake Arrowhead, and it was, you know, very big, and it was just everywhere. And I just didn't like it, but I loved him, so I just went along with it. Then all of a sudden, one day I was driving down this little road called Ocean View Drive. And there on Ocean View Drive, on the cliff, was a little blue house for sale. And God said, that's your house. And I said, oh, it's a little Daniel Boone house. It was blue. And the house was on a hill, and it was a little slanted. The foundation was, you know, if you put a ball on the floor, it would roll all the way down about 2 feet. But I didn't care because I didn't see the flaws. I just loved the house. And you walked in and you saw all the way to Catalina. That's why it was called Ocean View Drive. I could see all the way to Catalina. Well, my husband walked in that house. And he said, oh, no. This house is falling down the hill. I said, no, it's not. God said, it's my house. And God dealt with Jim, changed his heart, and it went into escrow. We didn't have a down payment, but God got us a down payment because I just began to pray. I begin to agree with God. God, I thank you. You said it's my house. I thank you, Father, that this is my house. So we were all ready to move, and all of a sudden, what happened? They decided they didn't want to sell it to us, and it fell out of escrow. And I had to move to Running Springs, which was about 20 miles up the road. Now, remember, I had little babies, I had little kids. We were pastoring a church, and we had to pack up the house that we were in. It was a rental, and the people were coming back. And I had to move 35 miles, or however far Running Springs is from Lake Arrowhead. I had to move up that road. We had to find a place. We had to move our stuff in. You know what it's like to move. I'd already moved 11 times. I knew what it was like to pack up and unpack. It's like I was a Bedouin, you know? And I was so discouraged. We were going to a conference to preach, and I'd heard God so clearly. I remember telling Jim, I can't preach. I can't speak. I cannot speak because I missed God so badly. How could I ever trust myself to preach the Word of God again? Because I heard the voice of God, and this didn't happen. You ever felt like that? Well, you heard God, and it didn't happen? Talking about focused desires. And all of a sudden, after we'd been there for 60 days, we got a phone call. And the owners of the house said, we've changed our minds. We want to sell you the house. And within 30 days, we were in that house. And God spoke to me and said, don't ever doubt me again when I tell you I'm going to give you something. So sometimes you think your prayers aren't being answered, but they're on their way. There's just a whole lot of hell coming at that answered prayer. Focused desire. So we move into that house. That house had a view to Catalina. We lived there for 2 years. It was there that I began to pray over the valley. I began to speak over this valley. God began to put in my heart the Rock Church. I knew we were going to pastor down in the valley. I knew we were going to have a church called the Rock. And I began to pray it in because I was in the will of God. And now I'm committing my ways to the Lord. And He is causing my thoughts to become agreeable with His. And I'm beginning to pray. When we moved into that church, we didn't know that Jim was going to resign our church and that it was going to be a horrific experience and he was going to want to quit the ministry and never pastor again and that our hearts were going to be broken and that he was going to go running to chase a television ministry because if he could be behind a camera and a producer, then nobody would bug him because he's really not a pastor. He's a businessman. But he had this little wife that didn't know anything about anything. And she's sitting there in this jacuzzi looking out over the hill and she's praying over the city. And I don't know why I'm praying, but I'm just committing my works to God. And all of a sudden, in my spirit, as I'm delighting myself in God, there's an unction to just pray over the city. And as I begin to see the city at night, it was like jewels. And God gave me a verse in Isaiah that I'll give you treasures out of darkness. And God began to speak to my heart that your husband's going to pastor. You're going to have a church and he's going to call it the Rock Church, the Rock Christian Center. And I didn't know, but within 2 years, we were down the hill. And after a six-month sabbatical of chasing God and chasing dreams that didn't happen because they weren't the will of God, when God wanted us to take a rest, but we didn't because we were worried, He started this church with 12 people in a box of clean. And it started on a mountaintop in a house my husband hated that I look at now and I think, my God, I wanted that house. But you see, God knew my desire. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Behave. Just love Him. You don't know what to pray. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to get out of it. You're not complaining. But Lord, okay, I'm okay. God knows you. He knows what you need. He knows what your family needs. He will bring you the desires of your heart. But you got to delight yourself. The power to bring pleasure. Commit your way to Him. The last thing. So, focused desires. What does that mean? What do you want? Commit it to God. Let it roll around in you. And believe God. Because the second point is fervent faith. Here's the thing, girls, is that we don't ask. Can you see me? We don't ask because we don't believe. What are you believing for? What would you like? If you could paint a picture of your life, what would it look like? If you could design the perfect life, what would it be? you think that's not God's will? Is it because it has never happened? Is it because everything's against you? Is it because you've asked and nothing's happened? It's because years have gone by? Is it because I'm this, I'm that? You're looking at yourself. You're looking at your circumstance. See, you have not because you don't ask. I know I'm harping on this, but listen. There was a man, his name was Jacob. He was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. Now, you know the story of Isaac. He had two boys, and Esau, God hated, and Jacob, God loved. Jacob gets the inheritance from his father. Esau's going to kill him, and so his mom sends him off to Laban, the uncle. And you can find the story in Genesis chapter 30 and 31. And there, Jacob falls in love with Rachel, and Laban is a trickster, and he's not an honest man. He's his uncle, and he tricks him, and he gives him Leah instead of Rachel. He sleeps with Leah. He thinks it's Rachel. He wakes up in the morning. Oh, my gosh. And then he gets Rachel, so he's got two wives. So he's been there a long time. He's watched over Laban's herds. 10 times Laban has changed his salary and cheated him out of his salary. And now God puts in Jacob's heart, it's time to go home. Because he's the son of Abraham. He's the grandson of Abraham. And God has a covenant. He has a plan. He has a Messiah to bring forth. So God puts it in Jacob's heart to go. And Laban's cheated him and he has nothing. And he says to Laban, he has a conversation, and he says to Laban, he says, I want to have wages. And Laban says, well, what do you want me to pay you? He says, I don't want you to pay me anything. He says, this is what I want you to do. I've watched over your herds. Everything that is spotted or speckled in the herd will belong to me. And everything that isn't will belong to you. We'll just start from scratch. And Laban says, well, this is too good to believe. So Laban went through the whole herd of sheep and goats. He separated all the spotted and the speckled sheep. All the rams, all the sheep, all the goats, and all the black sheep. Everything he separated, and he moved him 3 days from Jacob. 3 days away. So there was no possibility that these herds could commingle. So now Jacob has a herd of solid color goats and sheep. All right? Now how was he going to get spotted and speckled out of a solid herd of goats? It doesn't happen. I'm talking about desires. What do you want? What do you want? God gives Jacob a dream. And he explains the dream to his wives. But before he explains the dream, he does something very odd. He takes almond trees and poplar trees. Let's read it in Genesis chapter 30. And he takes these trees and he takes off the branches and he cleans the branches off. And then he begins to carve in these rods or these branches. He carves down so that there's white, so that it's spotted and speckled rods. Are you with me? Now, this is a very strange little story. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. We're looking at Genesis chapter 30, verse 31. He put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. Then he put 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, verse 36. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. Now Jacob took for himself rods of green poplar and of the almond and the chestnut trees, peeled white strips in them and exposed the white which was in the rods. So these are big branches. And the rods which he had peeled, he set before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, so that they should conceive when they came to drink. So the flocks conceived before the rods, and the flocks brought forth streaked, speckled, and spotted. Now that sounds like superstition and craziness. You take a bunch of rods, you build a wall behind the trough, and all you can see is spotted and speckled a little wall of rods, of branches, right? You got the picture? Here's a watering trough. Jacob made a little wall of spotted and speckled branches. Talking about what do you want? Why don't you ask? Now, can a sheep look at a spotted and a speckled rod? And does a sheep have the ability to imagine and to change its genetic code? Can a sheep do that? Is a sheep made in the image of God? No, it is not. It is a beast. But you, my darlings, are made in the image of God. male and female, made in the image of God. God's given you imagination and he's given you faith. And when you can see it on the inside, you can have it on the outside, but you got to see it first. And when it's impossible to see, you got to do what you got to do to see that promise coming to pass. And when Jacob took those rods and when he made a wall of spotted and speckled, he put them in front of sheep and of goats that could not possibly reproduce that way. But as he began to see it, he began to dream it. He began to think about it. He began to say, oh, thank you, God, that I got a herd of spotted and speckled. Did they have the herb yet? No, not yet. But God gave him a dream and he had faith for it. So watch what it says in chapter 31. He's talking to his wives about it because now he's got a massive herd and they're leaving. He said, you know that with all my might I served your father, yet your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not allow him to hurt me. If he said this, the speckled shall be your wages and all the flocks bore speckled. If he said this, the streaked shall be your wages and all the flocks bore streaked. So God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. And it happened at the time when the flocks conceived that I lifted my eyes and I saw in a dream. Behold, the rams which leaped upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And the angel of God spoke to me in a dream saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. He said, lift your eyes now and see. Lift your eyes now and see. All the rams which leaped on the flocks are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. Jacob had to see it, to believe it, to pray it in, and to get it in the earth. First, God's got to get my desires lined up with his. That starts when I delight myself in the Lord and I commit my way to him. Now he's got a woman that he can trust with his plan. But now he's got a problem because she doesn't believe. Because point number one is focused desires, and point number two is fervent faith. Because if she can't believe for it, she's not going to ask for it, is she? So I got to get her to understand who she is, who I am, what I want to do, and that she can pray this thing into the earth, and I can manifest it through her just like he did with Jacob. It is impossible to take solid color stock and have spotted and speckled unless the Holy Spirit genetically changes the encoding. Now, those sheep are not looking at that spotted and speckled and bearing faith and changing their destiny. But there is a man made in the image of God, the covenant son of God. The covenant son of God. Has God not said in the new covenant that we are no longer under the law, but we are under grace, and the blood of Jesus brings us into the very throne of God? Are we not bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Are we not the redeemed of the Lord? Are we not the saints of God? Are we not the daughters of God? What do you want? What do you need? What are your families living like? It's not the will of God that your children be in gangs and they be destroyed. It's not the will of God that you be broke and you have no job and you can't pay your bills. It's not the will of God. God is not a God of poverty, sickness, and disease. He's a God of life and abundance. And he says, I have given you life, the God kind of life. And I want to give it to you abundantly, but can you believe? Can you believe, girls? Or are you stuck like Jacob? Are you stuck on the backfields of some dried, arid land, and all you can see are herds that don't belong to you and what somebody's done to you? But you see, God says, you'll begin to believe me. What do you want? Delight yourself in me. I'll cause your desires to become my desires. So shall your plans be established and could succeed. I'm so glad some of the prayers I prayed didn't get answered. But I'll tell you what, I have prayed some prayers that have gotten answered. It's been the will of God. This church is the will of God. But God told me, I want you to pray in the wells of salvation in this church. My husband didn't give an altar call. I didn't have a passion for souls. I didn't care about the lost. I was still too hurt. I said, God, forgive me. You're going to have to give me a heart for lost people again. And as I began to pray in the will of God, because that's the will of God, then faith began to drop in my heart. God showed me Oxaw, Caleb's daughter, who asked her father for wells. Oh, this is an old story, but I'll never forget it. God said to me one day, I've given you the land, but you need water. He took me to the Old Testament and showed me Oxaw and said, she asked Caleb for the high springs and the low springs, and I gave them to her. Now ask me. Then he took me to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. With joy shall you drink from the wells of salvation. Listen to me, girls. If you will live in the Word and stay in the Word, commit your way to God and be a good girl, that means do everything you can to please Him. If you don't know how to please Him, it's okay. He will show you. If you're doing something He doesn't like, He will tell you. You'll be so miserable you can't keep doing it. But some of you in here, and some of me, and I'm talking about me, sometimes there's things in my life I need to change, and I'm not changing them, and my prayers aren't getting answered. Could it be? Because I'm asking amiss now. Could it be? I'm asking with the wrong heart. I'm asking for the wrong thing. I'm asking not in the will of God because I've not delighted myself in the Lord, and I can't delight myself in the Lord if I don't have the power to please Him, which means I'm a good girl. It's powerful to be a good girl. It's very powerful. It's powerful to be virtuous. It's powerful to say no. It's powerful to say no to anger, to say no to unlegal sex. It's powerful to say no to lying. It's powerful to say no to gossip. It's powerful to say no to unbelief and doubt. It's powerful when you can say no to fear. I will not be afraid. I am a daughter of God, and I will believe God. And this is what God said I can have. And you stand in faith. You have to go carve out rods and make them spotted and speckled. You believe God. You believe God when everyone else says it can't happen. It's not going to happen. It's too late. Who are you to do this? Who are you to have God heal this or do that for you? Who are you? Who was Jacob, a covenant son? Who are you, a covenant daughter? I'm telling you, girls, answered prayer. Two reasons. You don't ask, or you ask amiss. Are you asking in faith? Because until you ask in faith, don't ask. Let it settle in your heart. Let it just begin to mull around in you. Talk to God. When you get a word from God and you hear that promise, now you can go pray it. And Jesus said in Mark 11, and I'm done with this. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, what a powerful verse. We live on this. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Your marriage breaking up, your husband seeing somebody else, you're mad at him, you don't even want him anymore, your children are all boogered up, you've just lost your job, you're on welfare, you don't know how you'll ever get out, you don't have a place to live, your car doesn't work, you're in a dead-end job and you don't know what to do. Wake up and have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said. Have faith in God. He just cursed the fig tree. Jacob took rods and spotted and speckled rods. He put in front of the feeding troughs and the watering troughs so that he could see the promise of God. So he could see it on the inside, believe it on the outside. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Next verse, please. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them. Sometimes it's not time to ask yet because it still needs to get down in your spirit. Are you hearing me? That's all right. You're letting it grow. Do you see a baby inside the womb? How many in here are pregnant? Anybody pregnant? Marnie's pregnant. Marnie, we can't see that baby, can we? Why? It's incubating. It's growing. But it's there, isn't it? He or she is as real now as when she's going to be born, right? Just incubating. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's incubating. You're carrying it. You're carrying it. Promise, you're carrying it. When it begins to become real to you, when you pray, If you do not doubt in your heart, you'll have those things that you ask. Girls, your enemy to prayer is doubt and unbelief. You need to know. When you know it's God's will, you can believe it. And then, when the answer doesn't come right away and all hell breaks loose, you give up. Like I did with the Blue House. I thought, well, I didn't hear from God. I missed God. I didn't miss God. It just wasn't quite the time, because there was a giant in front of the promise. It had to be dealt with.